on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our Thursday, March 27th, 2025 edition of InvestTalk. We appreciate you tuning in for this hour, and it is my job to make it a productive one for you, our listeners. And we do that mainly by answering your finance investment questions and giving you data and perspective that you can bring back to your own personal financial situation. So I encourage you, whatever time of day it is, whatever you have on your mind, anything money related, don't hesitate to give us a call at 888-99-CHART. Now, in just a bit, we are going to talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics for the hour. But as usual, we'll tackle this caller question first.
Hey, guys. Chuck from Clayton. As always, thanks for the show. Great job. Love your knowledge. Looking at WMB, Williams Companies. It's an energy company. Bought about 5 years ago at about 26 a share. It's obviously jumped quite a bit. Been selling as I've gone along, keeping it at about 3% of my portfolio. Wondering if it still has room to grow or if we've pretty much priced out here. What do you think? Let me know. Be listening on the show. Thank you.
All right. Looking at Williams Company, WMB is the symbol. And clearly this is, as you said, this name has been doing well with a lot of other companies in this space. Williams Company does is they gather, process, store, and transport oil and gas. And so as the amount of oil produced in this country has skyrocketed over the past, let's see, about 13 years now, 2012 was when really fracking took off. Companies like this who charge to move product through their pipes, they've done very well. And earnings have gone from 79 cents back in 2018 to this year, supposed to be $2.15. Nice 3.3% dividend yield. Now, there are other companies in this space, a few others that pay off dividends that are qualified, like Williams Company. But then there are others that are master limited partnerships, and those produce K-1s, but they do tend to have higher dividend yields. So there's different ways to look at it depending on your tax rate, what type of accounts they're in, etc. So limited partnerships, you don't really want in tax-deferred accounts like 401ks, IRAs, etc. You'd rather own something that has qualified dividends, like Williams Company. So I like it. I like that you've trimmed throughout the years, but not to a level that takes, had a nice sneeze there. That not to a level that takes your exposure down dramatically. Okay. So now it has, its ascent has slowed as of late. If I pull up a chart here, it's been kind of trading sideways for about, 4 or 5 months now since November, and has gone nowhere, kind of around the 60 level since late November. But the industry as a whole has pulled back as well. A lot of it is worries about lower prices and that hurting overall supply growth. Also, a lot of the E&P companies, they drilled a lot of the easy wells, so it's been harder for them to get more out of the ground. Actually, you're starting to see in many parts of the country actually negative supply growth because of lack of CapEx and growth on the production side. So this is a bit of a worry that there is a slowdown in growth coming ahead. Although analysts aren't seeing that for Williams Company. They're actually seeing earnings going up 12% this year, 12% next year, and those estimates continue to rise. So I like that. It is a bit on the expensive side, I will say that. You have a enterprise value to EBIT around 23. That's pretty high. Price to free cash flow around 31. That is also pretty high. And if I go back in history, yeah, this is as expensive it's really been. So I do worry a bit about the growth fully being priced in. And if you do see some decline in production in the United States, this could hurt it. So I would probably trim a bit more. I'd be a bit more aggressive at these levels. You're seeing the momentum wane, and I would take some chips off the table, but I wouldn't sell the whole thing because it is still a good company, just a bit expensive at this time. Now, as you may have heard, our second annual InvestTalk Market Madness competition is going on right now, and someone will win $1,000. So we'll get to today's winners that will complete the Sweet 16 as we head into tomorrow's first matchup of the third round of the Sweet 16. So we'll dig into that a little bit later. But we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so, and time permitting, we will get to all of it. Now, our main focus point is about diversification strategies that are shining in this uncertain market. Now, over the last decade plus, more concentrated strategies have won out, especially if it's concentrated in U.S. versus foreign, and it was concentrated in, you know, tech versus most other sectors, right? Now that's starting to shift. So we'll look at the scoreboard so far this year and what is really working. In addition, what is Trump's playbook for the energy sector? You know, he says he wants lower prices, but his actions aren't really matching that. And what it looks like is a bit different. Looks like it's actually focusing more on helping domestic producers. And then if we have time, we'll get into how the pet industry continues to shine. And of course, most importantly, will be your questions, your voice bank questions. One is on Newmont Mining, the other is on analog devices. And then we have some questions that came in via the comment section on our YouTube channel as well. And of course, your live calls are a number one. So don't hesitate to reach out at 888-99-CHART. But we're going to head to our short break. And on the other side, we'll talk about today's market activity. And please remember, you can call anytime and leave your question on our InvestTalk voice bank at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is made better when listeners add their voices.
Hey, this is Don from Durham, North Carolina. Love the show.
Well, this is Greta from Palm Desert.
Hey, good afternoon, Justin and Luke. This is Rob calling from Las Vegas.
And Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are always ready to provide unbiased answers.
This is a broad-based way to get exposure to these miners.
I would kind of be in a holding pattern right now.
Voice bank calls are very important. But so are the spontaneous questions that come in during the InvestTalk live stream.
Let's go take a live call. Chris from Maine looking at GOLD.
We asked for live calls, and boy, did you respond. Jerry from Palo Alto asking about ticker S and listening on AM 1220.
Tell your friends, live a little, live a little. Call InvestTalk weekdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time.
I'll listen on the podcast, and I thank you very much.
888-99-CHART.
Let me touch on a topic that most listeners need to understand. I want to talk about creating a trust and a will. Until recently, this has been a very slow and time-consuming process. Things have changed now because trust and will makes creating your will easy. And before I go further, let me pass along the news that you can get 10% off at trustandwill.com/invest. Listen, I know from personal experience that the peace of mind that comes from having one's wishes and assets secure is a good feeling. And once you get your trust and will squared away, you can focus on the other important tasks in your life, whether they are for business or fun. When you work with Trust and Will, each will or trust is state-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. Their simple step-by-step process guides you from start to finish, one question at a time. You'll be able to keep your family prepared and protected by managing your will or trust online. Uncomplicate the process with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/invest and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/invest.
The InvestTalk phone lines never close. And now, Justin Klein is here. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now let's go take a look at the market today. It was a overall red day. You had the S&P down about a third of 1%. The NASDAQ, though, down 0.6% there. Really driven by NVIDIA, once again, down 2%. And we're starting to see some major data points on the demand for chips. Okay, and there's a slowdown coming really in global chip sales, and the market is starting to sniff that out, and that's why you're seeing I think the chip stocks really taken on the chin. Now if we look at other parts of the Mag 7, Google was down nearly 2% as well. Microsoft slightly up. Apple continues to be one of the pretty much the strongest within the Mag 7. It's up 1% on the day. Meta down 1.3%. You had some strength out of the consumer staples. Once again, they had a little setback last week, but they're starting to strengthen once again. You had a mixed bag in the finance sector. JP Morgan down 1%, but then MasterCard up 1.5%. Let's see, what else did we see? We were continuing to see the insurance companies continuing to do well. And yeah, it was just mostly a mixed bag. Driving down the markets, though, were those major Mag 7 names. So that was the market for today. On the economic front, there's the tariffs, the Trump imposing tariffs that will take effect on April 2nd. And this has certainly hit the auto industry, Ford, GM, et cetera. And he thinks that they will, or the estimate is that the auto tariffs will bring about $100 billion in annual revenue. Okay. And he said that reciprocal tariffs will apply to every country, but they will be very lenient. And in many cases, tariff rates will be lower than what U.S. is being charged. So who knows what that means, right? Is that slightly lower? Is it dramatically lower? We're still not sure. And the market's still not sure. Okay. And he said lumber and pharmaceuticals will be subject to tariffs. That obviously hurting the pharmaceutical industry and the housing industry. And he is saying that they could impose tariffs on copper imports within weeks. Now, this one to me doesn't make sense. It's not like companies can make copper mines here in the United States. Most of the copper that's available to be mined is being mined, has been mined for decades. It's not like you can't import, but you can't onshore something that isn't here. Okay, so I'm not sure what the point of that is. It'll just really drive up costs. So we'll see if that gets implemented. What's most interesting, though, about the tariff discussion is that he floated the idea that he'd give China a tariff break if there was some sort of deal on TikTok, which seems like something that it seems like he's flexible on the China tariffs, which are obviously a very important one to consider when you think of manufactured goods and how much higher cost that will be once those Chinese tariffs are implemented. So that was, I think, the most bullish out of all the tariff news today. What other news did we have? Personal consumption was up 4%. That was below consensus, which is 4.2. Core PCs at 2.6. Slightly below consensus. So pretty much in line there. February pending home sales rose 2%, a little bit higher than consensus there. So that was the economic news. But obviously it's more about the tariff news. And until we get a full resolution in next week, I think you're going to get a lot of sideways choppy action and eventually a resolution one way or the other later next week. I hope you've been telling your friends that we are available in video form over on our YouTube channel. And so let's go answer one of those questions that came in via the comment section over on one of our YouTube videos. Steven Espana says, what do you think about investing in Capital One CDs or in CDs in general? Is it worth investing in today? Well, this is one of those questions where I need a lot more context here. Now, Capital One, because they're a bank, their CDs are probably FDIC insured. So there's nothing wrong with buying CDs from them or other FDIC insured banks. A lot depends on what rate they're offering. They do vary. So I'm not sure what Capital One is compared to others. but there's nothing special about Capital One's CDs besides the yield if it's better than others. Now, our CD is good. Well, it depends on what type of risk you want to take. You know, we're in a soft part of the market. However, there are pockets of strength. But how much risk do you want to take? Okay. I do think that rates are going to slowly come down. The Fed will likely cut rates as you get into what increasingly looks like is a recession later this year into next year. And buying CDs, locking in that rate for the next year or two might be a smart thing to do. But also depends on the demand on that, right? If that's long-term money, you know, you probably want to use this opportunity, soft spot in the market, to actually get money to work. And when you put in a CD, you're locking that up. So from a liquidity perspective, I don't love CDs. So you can see here where it starts to get into a lot of questions. Risk tolerance level, what's your expectations for the market? What are your other holdings? Do you have any other equities or other bonds, other fixed income, etc.? All of these are factors into whether CDs are right for you. They may be, but maybe not. Depends on a ton of factors. So I would encourage you to head over to investtalk.com and schedule a portfolio review with me, and then we can talk about those other factors. They're moving into a break still to come. My main focus point, more answers to your voice bank questions. And of course, you can call me right now live, 4 to 5 Pacific time, each and every weekday at 888-99-CHART.
Justin Klein is here and ready to tackle your questions.
I've heard you say multiple times that you prefer shorter duration treasury bonds. Can you explain to me why it is more advisable?
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
The InvestTalk Market Madness competition is underway, and whenever you want an update, you can head over to investtalk.com. And when you've got finance and investment questions, Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero are ready. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Our main focus point today is about the fact that diversified strategies are starting to outperform more concentrated bets in this uncertain market. And there's been a major rotation out of American equities so far this year. And safer assets have done better, not just treasuries. Treasuries are up about 3%. But things like gold, corporate debt, these are the areas that are the strongest. And obviously some sectors of the market like consumer staples, utilities, etc. So while the broader market, the S&P, is in a correction, that's not the case across the board. It's just the fact that, as we've been saying for a while, the S&P is extremely concentrated. Even broad indices like the Russell 3000, like the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index, anything that's just a broad index is going to be highly concentrated in those Mag 7 names. And this is really a long time coming. And I've said this since really 2022, when you had that big downturn. The market shifted then. Now, we had a counter trend rally, but over the past, call it 2 years. But that can happen. And it's hard to break those uptrends and those secular trends of growth versus value, et cetera. We had a long downtrend in growth versus value from 2000 all the way to 2007. And then from basically 2008, call it, to 2021, you had growth outperforming. But now you're starting to see this persistent shift. And it's not just in the growth to value trade, but it's also in other allocations. So, for example, we talked about foreign stocks. And if you look at the average money manager, they slashed their allocation to American stocks at a record pace this month. That's according to Bank of America. And they're putting money in Europe and emerging markets. Now, what is the average investor doing, though? They're actually continuing to buy the dip in tech stocks. So the smart money is flowing out of U.S. stocks and, you know, mainly the indices and into those foreign names. And if you look at more diversified strategies, like a multi-factor index, for example, it's been up 3 of the last 4 weeks. And it's up 2.5-3% on the year, where the S&P is down about 4% on the year. So the more complex trades are working. Things like cover call strategies, something that we execute over at KPP, but they become popular as well of the, you know, in the ETF space. And then you have gold. I spoke about that briefly, but I think it's not being talked about enough. Gold is at an all-time high. And every pullback is extremely minor and just refreshes sentiment to move higher. And the pullbacks are measured in days, not weeks. And so the commodity index has largest weekly gain in 2 months last week. And the energy markets are starting to perk up as well. Energy stocks are at a great breakout yesterday. So this is something that I was expecting at some point. I did think that it was going to break a little sooner, meaning earlier last year, the yen carry trade unwind. I thought that would be a spark for that rotation. But it wasn't. It wasn't. It was another buy the dip type of move. But now it's pretty clear that the growth to value trade, the foreign to domestic trade, the frankly bonds over equities trade is here. Now, once again, it's very concentrated. It's mainly in those Mag 7 names. It's mainly in AI or GLP-1 type of companies that really sparked the market's fervor once again early last year. But as I said earlier, the demand for chips is waning globally. And you're seeing GLP-1 growth slowing fast as well. So those two big drivers of growth are losing their luster. And you're starting to see money rotating, not just leaving the market. That's one thing that's very important to understand. It's not just leaving the market. It's not like 08 where everyone was going to cash and everyone was worried that the world was going to blow up. We're not in that situation. It's a rotation. It's a rotation in markets, and these things happen. Now, is 3 months a trend? Well, maybe not. But it starts at 3 months and it extends and it continues to extend. And we think it will continue for a while. Now, on the next Invest Talk, we'll look into the story behind this headline. Investors flock to gold ETFs amid Bitcoin's February dip. Investors favor the stability of gold ETFs, and they are pouring billions into commodity-focused funds like the Spiders Gold Shares. That story tomorrow, but for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your calls at 888-99-SHARP.
InvestTalk downloads have now surpassed 61 million. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero provide unbiased answers to your finance and investment questions. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Justin and Luke, this is Steve from St. Paul. Going back to Newmont's NEM, somebody had called him going back a month or two, and then Justin had said that you held it in some of your accounts, but you were reevaluating that. And I also held some. And based on that comment, I was on the fence about it. But it's been pretty strong since then. And I was just basically calling to get an update on that thought process and where you were on Newmont and whether you were going to continue to hold it. So I'm happy with it. But I'm curious if I should be worried about it a little bit or, you know, put a trailing stop loss on it or if I just let it ride for the time being. Thanks. Love the show. Look forward to hearing your response.
Thanks for the call. Okay, Newmont Mining. And yes, we did reevaluate it. We did end up selling it, mainly to rotate into other names in the material space and the precious metal space. So Yeah, we did. We did sell it. Now we still like it. Still, you know, in the top 10 of the miners out there that based on valuation, it's one of the largest miners in the world. And the biggest issue as of late has been the cost of production has just gone up. So, you know, their heft has not translated into lower costs. And so that's been kind of a drag. Now, if they can eventually resolve some of those issues and get those back in line with industry averages, I think it could do well. Now, it has been doing well as of late, but all of the gold space has been doing well. So I don't mind you holding it. I think there are better out there, obviously, but it's definitely not bad because of its diversity. And I do think it is undervalued, and they just need to correct those costs a bit. Thanks for the call. Now let's talk about our latest update of the InvestTalk Market Madness. Let me pull up the winners here for today. Sorry. Give me 1 second. There we go. All right. So this was the consumer region. So it was the consumer region. This is the last matchups of the second round and our last four for the Sweet 16. Now, who were the winners? Well, they were Five Below beat out Amazon. You had Celsius beating out Arhaus. You had Revolve beating out Vital Farms. And then you had Dollar General beating out Yeti. So those will be the ones moving on. You'll have Dollar General versus Revolve and Five Below versus Celsius coming up on the second. And tomorrow we go back to the most exciting region that most people like, which is the new economy. And we'll have CrowdStrike versus Privia Health. And then we'll have On Semiconductor versus Nvidia. We'll see which semiconductor company comes out on top there. So we have a leaderboard, and our leader for now is Jacob. Jacob tied with PID. I'm not sure that is, but I think that's without this new round. So we'll get that updated here later today, and we're going to send out updates for who the leaderboard is after this second round. Now let's go over to our listener question that came in via the comment section on our YouTube channel. And it says, what are your thoughts on Mills Music Trust, MMTRS? I picked up 10 shares in my Roth IRA, so I don't have to worry about any tax implications of the distributions. I found this while searching for portfolio diversifiers, but bought it really as just a novelty. I guess I would like your opinion on buying odd novelty things like this in general. Simply, there's not a lot of value to buying these. Now, for everyone else, this is Mills Music Trust. I had never heard of it before I got this question, so I had to look this up. And it's not a shock. I haven't heard of it. Its market cap is literally $8.4 million. This is a micro cap of the micro caps. Now, what it does is it owns royalties on music. I don't know their catalog because the URL, the website that I have on my database is millsmusic.com. But if I go to millsmusic.com, there's nothing there. Nobody owns, or the domain is for sale. The domain is for sale. So there's not enough information here for me to buy it. It does say it has a distribution of $1.33. I don't know enough about whether that is sustainable or not, because I don't see any earnings reports, sales reports, or anything like that. I don't think this is worth the novelty of it. I think you're just looking at a dividend yield and that's it. And I think that's one of the worst ways to ever evaluate anything is looking at one data point. You probably saw 17.5% dividend yield and thinking that's it. Oh, this is what it does. But what's the true value of that, of those royalties? Is it anything good? Anything sustainable? Is it Elvis Presley? Or is it, you know, a bunch of random know-nothing artists? I don't know. So I'd have to really look into that. But at $8 million, some novelty like this just doesn't pass the smell test to me. So I would pass on this. Now, No, I will get into another of my featured talking points, but in a few minutes. But first, let's tackle another voice bank question from 888-99-CHART.
This is Kyle from Michigan. I'm a longtime listener, and I had a question about a stock. The ticker symbol is ADI, Analog Devices, Inc., and I want to know if it was a good buy now or at what price would it be a good buy. I'm looking forward to hearing your answer on the podcast because I'll definitely be listening. Thank you for all that you guys do. Bye.
Thanks for the call. This is Analog Devices, a semiconductor manufacturing company, about $1 billion market cap. And business has struggled last year. Earnings were down 37% to $6.38. Earnings are expected to bounce back 12% this year, but those estimates continue to get downgraded. So I'm not very optimistic on that. And leading indicators on the semiconductor space tell me and our research team that you're going to see a decline in semiconductor demand going forward. Obviously, tariffs are one big issue. But I think the overcapacity that was built over the last few years is going to start biting a lot of these firms. And to say what price is a good price for these type of names is very difficult. Why? Because these down cycles can last many years, and they can turn a company that looks profitable now into something that is losing a lot of money. And historically, if you go back in history, this is a name that has gone from return equity as low as 3% in 02 to as high as 33% in early 08. But it's been in secular decline since. And one of my issues with Analog Devices is in its name, Analog. These are not cutting-edge devices. And cutting-edge semiconductors. One thing that China is doing is they are building out capacity for these low-end chips, and they're flooding the global markets. And it's putting pressure on companies like Analog Devices, on Texas Instruments, names that, you know, they're not the NVIDIAs of the world. They're not the Intels of the world. They're not high-quality, very sophisticated chips. They're very simple, like I said, analog. And that's why the chart of Texas Instruments and Analog Devices are very similar. They're both in a modest downtrend, but overall, this is not something that gets me excited. I think you are potentially unlikely buying into, looks to me like a clear value trap, and it's not even really cheap. Even if you go at $7 in earnings, you're talking about 30 times, and I think that easily could reverse well below $7. So I would not be buying Analog Devices. Much better uses of your capital elsewhere. Now let's talk a little bit about the oil industry. The oil industry, and Trump famously says, you know, we want the industry to drill, baby, drill. And that's not how it works, right? You can't just tell the industry to drill and they will. They need to be incentivized. And they need to be incentivized mainly by higher prices. Even though Trump has said he also wants cheap oil to bring down inflation. But those, once again, those two things don't really match up. To incentivize drill, baby, drill, you need higher prices, which attracts investment and growth. But recent actions tell a different story. And it's more of your traditional Trump playbook, which is protectionism. Recently, Trump stated on Truth Social that he's going to impose 25% across-the-board tariffs on Venezuelan oil starting on April 2nd. Who's the biggest importer of Venezuelan oil? The United States. So are we going to tariff ourselves? Probably not. And the administration revoked the license for Chevron to extract oil in Venezuela as well. Now, Venezuela's oil isn't a huge amount of oil. It's about 1% of global daily production. Sorry, less than 1%, 0.5 million barrels a day, 500,000 barrels a day. That's not a lot, right? It's not going to have a material impact there. But then you also have tighter sanctions on Iranian oil. That accounts for about 1 to 1.5 million barrels a day. So let's call it, round it, $2 million a day max. And so it's clear that he doesn't want lower prices. He wants more business for U.S. producers. Now, that could be part of the Canadian negotiations, is what makes sense to not drive prices up too much, but still allow more business to be had by U.S. producers. Now, the counter to all this is that, hey, OPEC could raise their production. They're already doing that starting in April. That's kind of priced into markets. But we know that OPEC doesn't want to really help Trump in his coercion to get more business to U.S. producers. So it's unlikely they'll pump a lot more. So Trump could get what he wants here, which is actually higher prices and drill, baby, drill. More incentive for domestic producers to spend on CapEx. And remember that this is an environment where these CEOs are now incentivized for return on investment, not production. Before 2016-ish timeframe, especially before COVID, these CEOs were mainly incentivized to increase production. And that's why you had a lot of these names, or these shale names, go out of business, especially the small ones, because they were undercapitalized and they were increasing more into an increasingly oversupplied market. Now they're kind of all getting together and realizing that's not a smart move. And it's about, okay, how do you find and develop projects efficiently so that it drives more cash flows that can go to stock buybacks that are fueling the returns for shareholders, which increasingly are the CEOs and C-suite. They're incentivized to get the stock price higher. And that is, you know, I'm a big fan of show me the incentive, I'll show you the outcome. I think that's probably one of my favorite Charlie Munger quotes. It is my favorite Charlie Munger quote. And in this industry, you're seeing this in spades. So if you want to unpack Trump's real agenda, it's really about creating incentives. And I think that's something Trump does know a lot about. Now let's drop in another listener question from 888-99-CHART.
This is Jay from Salt Lake City, Utah. First off, great show. Love it. I watch it, listen to it all the time. I'm calling to get your fundamental and technical analysis on Graphic Packaging Holdings. The symbol is GPK. That'd be George, Peter, Kimberly. Thanks again, and I look forward to hearing on the podcast.
Looking at Graphic Packaging. This is, it makes paperboard packaging products for companies in the food, beverage, and household products industries. Now, I generally, in this environment, I kind of like that because it's typically a steady business. Earnings this year, though, are supposed to be up 2% after they were down 14% last year. Revenues due to continue to decline. So it's trading at a low multiple, but it's a low growth business and it's a not exciting business. It's a boring business. And they do have a lot of debt in their balance sheet. And that's what would prevent me from getting into this. And the free cash flow is negative. So they have $5 billion in long-term debt on a $7.8 billion market cap. And their free cash flow is now negative $363 million. So I don't love the trends here. I don't love the debt. I would pass on it. And the technicals aren't good either. So while it looks relatively cheap, remember, you have to look at the debt levels. And the debt levels are not inspiring me to buy this name. So I'm passing on GPK. Now, this is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal each and every weekday is to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART.
The calls are free. The unbiased answers are free. So what are you waiting for? Call Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's fit in another listener question from our Invest Talk YouTube channel. Martin Cerna says, what do you think about FMC and Corteva for long-term hold? Look, let's take a look here. FMC, if I remember correctly, is in the ag space. Yep. It produces, manufactures agriculture, industrial, and consumer chemicals such as insecticides, herbicides, and fungicides. Earnings decline has been declining for three straight years. Earned $7.41 in 2022, but this year is supposed to be all the way down to $3.39, and those estimates continue to come down as well. So I don't love the trends of earnings. Relative strength is 15, so that the chart is obviously not very good. And they do have a good amount of debt in their balance sheets, $3.3 billion. Although free cash flow is steady at around 6.6, but it did dip negative last year. It's just a bit volatile for my taste. I don't like the trends in the stock. So I would pass on FMC. Then you also have RFK in the White House and trying to, you know, reshape the food industry. How much does that impact the insecticide business? I would not be buying this name. Now, the other one that he spoke about, CTVA, if I remember correctly, this is in the oil business, Corteva. And, oh, sorry, this, let me correct myself. It is also in the ag space. Now, its trends are much better. You're talking about earnings up 14% this year. Relative strength is 84%. It's repurchasing $3 billion worth of common stock and a $42 billion market cap. That's about 6-7% of the market cap. I like that. I like companies that are returning cash to shareholders. The cash flow is $1.5 billion, which on a free cash flow yield basis, that's not amazing. It's about a 3-4% free cash flow yield, but that cash flow is rising. I like to see that. And they have pretty much no debt, no net debt on their balance sheet. So if I'm picking one or the other, I'm definitely picking Corteva. I just really like, I like the no debt situation, and I like the trends in earnings much better. And Corteva, CTVA. Now, lastly, let's talk about pets. And there's some interesting data coming out of companies like Walmart, Chewy, PetSmart, etc. And it's showing that the pandemic boom in pets is long lasting. I am a product of that. I got a lab during the pandemic, and he's actually hanging out right behind me. You'll actually see him on our website. His name's Kobe. But we spend, us pet owners, we spend a lot of money on our pets, and we don't cut back. That's what's very interesting about the data, is that inflation adjusted spending on pets and related products was 28% higher than in January of 2019, compared to groceries in general over the same period was up 9.6%. And you look at companies like SM Smuckers, sales of, they own Meow Mix and Kibbles and Bits, pet food sales up 10% in the quarter ending April 30th, and from year over year. And overall, consumer food sales only up 3%. So 10% versus 3%. Now, the pandemic likely added about 1 million pets to America's pet population. There were 6.9 million more dogs in the U.S. in 2020 versus 2016. So it really exacerbated the trend. And spending on pets grew 19.3%. To $123 billion last year, much faster than what you saw in 2019, which is only 7.3% growth. So I know. And then there's also the health of pets and the type of food, premium food that's going into these puppies, these kittens, is amazing. I know I do it. I buy frozen raw patties that I feed him. Not cheap, but I think definitely keeps him healthy, and he's very healthy. So this is a trend we continue to follow, and I think there are a lot of opportunities out there, but they may not be in the most obvious spaces. A lot of times they're hidden within larger companies. Now, I'm Justin Klein. This completes another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And if you need help understanding your risk tolerance level and whether your portfolio strategy is likely to meet your long-term financial goals, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com and schedule a review with me. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.